I'd like to open services by reading to you from the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I don't know how many times you hear that. It never gets old, does it? Prayer of a warrior, prayer of a warrior king, and yet he was looking to his God, his shepherd, who would care for him throughout each day. This morning I'd like to talk about the good shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. We read the Psalm 23 to you. I'd like to direct your attention now to John chapter 10. And I'd like to begin by reading just the first six verses. This is our Lord Jesus speaking, and it says in chapter 10 of John, it says, "Verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and he leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers." And then it says, "This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them." Okay. Now, as we study the Gospels, Gospel of Matthew, Gospel of Mark, Gospel of Luke, Gospel of John, one of the things that we notice as we see these inspired words of the life and the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, how quick he was to give spiritual truths based on the things that were around them. In one place, he's in the temple, and he says, "I am the light of the world." No doubt he was referring to the great lampstand that was in the corner there. There were other situations where he would observe something and make a comment or make a teaching concerning the things that he was seeing and things that they were familiar with. It doesn't say they were out in the country necessarily, but I can't help but think that the Lord Jesus, as he was walking along with his disciples, he says this parable. He makes this observation about how it is that sheep behave. And he simply says the things that are said. It's interesting, in just these few verses, he comments on several things. He comments on the fact that in a sheep coat, a sheep fold, we might call it a corral, you know, although it was probably made out of stone rather than wood, but a place where you'd keep the sheep. He said that it's the thieves and the robbers that go in, right, some other way. They climb over to get to the sheep. It's only the shepherd that goes in through the gate, goes in through the door, goes in properly. And to him, the porter, the one in charge, opens. And then he says the sheep know the shepherd's voice. He calls them. There may be a bunch of sheep inside this corral, but he calls them by name. He says, "Come on, let's go." And he starts to walk off, and they follow him. Now, there's a lot in that parable, but it's something that the people were very familiar with. This was an agrarian society, and people were common and accustomed to seeing sheep. And yet, the Lord Jesus here in this set of scripture is teaching us some really important lessons that we need to pay attention to concerning his relationship to us. Because as he's going to say in a minute, "I am the door, and I am the good shepherd, and I'm the one who lays down his life for his sheep." Because that's really what I want to talk about. We're going to talk about the fact that Lord Jesus is a shepherd, as he's given to us in the scriptures. But we need to understand that as the good shepherd, the greatest thing he's done for us is he's died for us. He's laid down his life to protect us, and he's taken his life up again. You know, the last several days, weeks, months, however you want to measure it, we've been trying to get back to basics. We've been trying to explore these things with a fresh set of eyes. And one of the things that I want us to think about is why was it necessary for the Lord Jesus Christ to lay down his life? Why was it necessary for him to die? And why was it necessary for him to be raised from the dead? This is the central part of the gospel. And this set of scripture gives us some insight into that. Now, before we go through and Jesus begins to explain this parable to them, I want to point out that to these Jewish hearers, those who had spiritual ears, those who had a mind for the prophets and things that God had said to them before, some of these words should have jumped right out at them. So I'd like to take you to a couple of places in the Old Testament before we continue on that you'll understand that Jesus is referring to. And the first place I'd like to go, you can keep your mark there, but I'd like to go to Jeremiah 23. If you'd like to turn to Jeremiah 23, it's right after Isaiah, Jeremiah the prophet. And I'd like to just read a few verses out of Jeremiah 23. Okay. Woe be unto the pastors, which means the shepherds. We could say, woe be unto the shepherds that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, that is the Lord's pasture, saith the Lord. Therefore saith the Lord God of Israel against the pastors that feed my people, ye have scattered my flock, and you've driven them away, and you have not visited them. Behold, I will visit upon you the evil of your doings, saith the Lord. And I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all countries whither I have driven them, and will bring them again to their folds, and they shall be fruitful and increase. See, he's saying, I'm going to be a pastor. I'm going to be a shepherd, and I'm going to gather my sheep. Do you see that? And I will set up shepherds under me. I will set up shepherds over them which shall feed them, and they shall fear no more, neither be dismayed, neither shall they be lacking, saith the Lord. May I say unto you that those shepherds are, in the Old Testament, the true prophets of God. And in the New Testament, his apostles, right? These are the shepherds that God set up over his people. And it says, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. In his days, Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely, and this is his name whereby he shall be called the Lord our righteousness. Yes, sir. Amen. That's our great shepherd. God says, I'm going to send a shepherd to gather you and to save you. Okay? Now let's go to another place. I'd like to, before we continue on, again, remember this is the background of what the Lord Jesus is teaching here. I'd like to direct your attention to Ezekiel chapter 34. Ezekiel chapter 34. I'd like you to mark this chapter because it's a very good one. I'm not going to read all of it to you, but I'm going to read some of it. And there's a contrast between the bad shepherds and the good shepherds. This is the same thing that Jesus is talking about. He says the stranger, the hireling that we're going to talk about, the ones that are false, he's not talking about the true servants of God that he sent. He's not talking about the true prophets, but he's talking about the false prophets who rose up among the nation of Israel, the false rulers, the ones who dealt falsely with God's people and with God's heritage. And here he gets onto him in chapter 34. He says, and the word of the Lord came unto me, that is the prophet Ezekiel. And he said, son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God unto these shepherds, these bad shepherds, woe be to the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? Now, if you'll continue on, he's going to give them a lot of criticism here correctly. But I want to skip forward to verse 11. Because now he's going to talk about the good shepherd. For thus saith the Lord God, verse 11, behold, I will both search my sheep and seek them out. Okay? God says, I'm going to find my sheep and I'm going to bring them to me. As a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day that he is among his sheep that are scattered, so will I seek out my sheep. That's the Lord. And will deliver them out of all places where they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day. And I will bring them out from the people and gather them from the countries and will bring them to their own land and feed them upon the mountains of Israel by the rivers and in all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them in a good pasture. And upon the high mountains of Israel shall their fold be. There shall they lie in a good fold, and in a fat pasture shall they feed upon the mountains of Israel. I will feed my flock. I will feed my flock, and I will cause them to lie down, saith the Lord God. I will seek that which was lost. I will seek that which was lost, and I will bring again that which was driven away, and I will bind up that which was broken, and will strengthen that which was sick, but I will destroy the fat and the strong. I will feed them with judgment. Now there's one more place I want to go before we continue on, okay? One more verse, and this is in the book of Zechariah. This is a little bit different, okay? But again, it's a reference to the great shepherd. Now, this is an interesting statement. Zechariah chapter 13, verse 7. Awake, O sword, against my shepherd and against the man that is my fellow, saith the Lord of hosts. Smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. And I will turn mine hand upon the little ones. Now that's a strange statement, isn't it? And yet God here, through the prophet, 500 years before the Lord Jesus came on the scene, he says, smite the shepherd. Which shepherd? These evil shepherds that we've been talking about? No. This is the one, this is the good shepherd. This is the one that is his fellow. Notice that. He says, this is my fellow, this is my companion. May I say, this is the one who is equal to me, saith God. Smite the shepherd, that which is my fellow, saith the Lord of hosts. Smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered, and I will turn mine hand upon the little ones. But then he goes on to say, and it shall come to pass, and in all the land, saith the Lord, two parts then shall be cut off and die, but the third shall be left therein. That is the remnant. This is the remnant that would be saved. And I will bring the third part through the fire and will refine them as silver is refined and will try them as gold is tried. They shall call on my name. These, his sheep. See, these are his. He says, these sheep, which are mine, will call on my name and I will hear them. And I will say, it is my people. And they shall say, the Lord is my God. Okay, isn't that cool? So yeah, this great shepherd's going to come in. I mean, just kind of giving a summary. These are some of the things that these Jewish hearers would understand if they were listening with spiritual ears, that there were bad shepherds. And God said, I'm going to deal with those. I'm going to set them aside. But I'm going to raise up a good shepherd. And I'll raise up some good shepherds under them. Okay, and I'm going to go and seek and save that which was lost. And in so doing, I'm going to be struck down. Because God himself says, smite the shepherd. Remember we spoke last time from Daniel chapter 9, where it says that after all these weeks, you know, all of these prophesied years, that Messiah would be cut off. But not for himself. There's another example, and there's many in this verses in the scripture that say that this great shepherd would be cut off, but not for himself. He'd be cut off to save his sheep. Right? Isn't that good? Now let's go back to John chapter 10. I don't want to take a lot of time because I want Brother Allen to preach for us, but I want you to think about now, Jesus said this statement about shepherds. And he talked about thieves, and he talked about robbers, and he talked about a sheep coat, and he talked about a porter, and he said, you know, there's a shepherd, and he leads his sheep out, and the sheep won't listen to a stranger, but they'll listen to him because they know him. And they're all going, what are you talking about? And so Jesus now begins to explain it. So look at verse 7. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. The first point that Jesus is going to make on this parable is, he's the door. He's the doorway by which these sheep come into the fold. Okay? Right? He says, all that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. Can you now understand who he's talking about? All those that came before. He's not talking about the prophets that he sent, not the good rulers that he sent. But he's talking about these false shepherds that he spoke of in Ezekiel, and he talked about in Jeremiah. All that came before were thieves and robbers, and they were false. But he said, but the sheep did not hear them. I'm the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Jesus is the gate. May I say it, the gate, the door, the entryway to his sheepfold. And he says, it's by me, my sheep come in and out and find pasture. I'm the entrance. I'm the only way. And there are many other scriptures where Jesus taught us that our access to God. You see, we're not sheep because Jesus died for us. Jesus died for us because we're his sheep. And he came to save us and give us access to him and to where he is. He is the door, and he's the only one. We can't do it ourselves. We're just dumb sheep. We're off wandering around somewhere. But he's the good shepherd who went and got us and brought us to himself, brought us to his fold. Okay. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but to steal and to kill and to destroy. But I am come that they might have life, and they might have it more abundantly. God, Jesus Christ, is the life giver. He's the life-giving shepherd. He gives life to his sheep. And he doesn't just give us life. He gives us abundant life. As it says in the book of Ephesians, he hath blessed us in all spiritual blessings, with all spiritual blessings in all heavenly places in Christ Jesus. What has Jesus Christ given you? He's given you everything. He's given you everything. He's given you his life, and he's given you abundant life. And he has called us to walk with our shepherd, just as David, by faith, wrote that 23rd Psalm. Now notice what else he says. Not only am I the door. We're going to move along. There's a lot more that could be said, but we're going to just stay with me. Okay, there's another point that he makes. He says, I am the good shepherd. I'm not just the door, which he is in this parable, but I'm also the good shepherd. I'm the one who leads them. I'm the one to whom these sheep belong. I'm the one who came and saved my sheep. He says, the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Okay? Remember what I asked you the question. Why was it necessary that Jesus die? He gave his life for the sheep to protect them, to save them, to gather them to himself. It was necessary that he lay down his life. Why? Because there was an enemy. There was an enemy coming after the sheep, and he protected us and protects us by laying down his life to save us from the thief, save us from the robber, save us from the beast, save us from our sins, right? That's the lesson. He died to save his sheep because he's the good shepherd, and that's what a good shepherd does. Notice he says, he that is a hireling, but not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them. I mean, I think that means the wolf catches the hireling and scattereth the sheep. He says, God the Father didn't just hire me. God didn't hire the Lord Jesus to save us, but we belong to him. Okay? Remember in the Old Testament, If you were the youngest son, you usually took care of your father's sheep. David did that, right? David was the youngest of all the boys. What was his job? Take care of his father's sheep. Well, that's a perfect picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. So he's our older brother. He's taking care of his sheep. They belong to him. He's not just a hireling. He didn't just take a job. We belong to him. And that's what he's doing. He's asserting his authority because we belong to him. We're his sheep because his father gave us to him. Okay? I am the good shepherd and I know my sheep. He knows the sheep. He's not just in heaven going, well, I've got 10 million slots in heaven, first come, first served. No. He knew you from before the foundation of the world. And he chose you in Christ before the foundation of the world. And at the appointed time, he came to die for you and to die for me. He came to save his sheep. And he knows us by name and he calls us by name. And we know him because he's revealed himself to us. That's how we know him. But he knows us. Isn't that good to know? I mean, isn't that good news? Do you ever have a bad day? Do you ever have a day when you're sorrowful and you're kind of filled with sorrow and sadness? You're kind of looking at the emptiness of life. Just remember this. You're one of God's sheep. You're one of Jesus' sheep, and he knows you. He knows you by name, and he calls you. And if it were necessary for him to go back to that cross and to die again, he'd do it. He'd do it. He doesn't need to. Okay, his work was perfect. It's not going to happen. But I need you to understand the depth of his love for his sheep. Amen. He loves us and he calls us by name. Unworthy as we are, we're his sheep. And he lays down his life. But notice this. Jesus was not overcome. He was not defeated. Okay, he wasn't murdered. I mean, it was a murder, but I mean, he laid down his life. This is the next point that he's going to make. Not only do I have authority over the sheep, but I've got authority over my own life. Notice what he says. First of all, he says, other sheep I have, which I must not of this fold. That meant the Gentiles. That means all of his people. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it up again. No man taketh it from me. No man taketh it from me. But I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. This commandment I have received of my Father. Just remember this. Jesus Christ went willingly and gladly. He went willingly and gladly to that cross. Though it was a shameful thing, he did it for you, and he did it for me. He did it for his sheep, okay? Because he loves us, and he laid down his life willingly, and he took it up again. Now, you might say, well, Randy, why? What's the significance of the resurrection? With this, I'll close after I read a couple more verses, just to kind of summarize all this up. Remember that Jesus Christ is the life giver. Okay? In him is life, and the life is the light of men. He died to satisfy the demands of God's perfect judgment, and those things have been completely satisfied. God's justice toward his sheep has been completely satisfied. There is not a single charge that can be brought against God's elect, against his sheep. Why? Because they have been paid in full by Jesus Christ. How do we know, though, that that transaction was accepted of God? Because God raised him from the dead. The grave could not hold him. If this is the light bearer, if this is the source of all life, then he cannot stay dead. He cannot stay dead. His body cannot see corruption in that grave. He comes forward victorious, but it's even better than that. Because as the law teaches us, the law of first fruits, if the first fruits are accepted, the whole crop is accepted. And Jesus Christ is the first fruits of them that slept, okay? You're going to live again forever. Jesus Christ is coming, and he's going to raise you from the dead. And you're going to live with him forever in his Father's house, in this sheepfold, okay? And you know it's true because Jesus Christ has been raised from the dead. And because he is raised from the dead, we like too shall be raised from the dead. Why? Because we're his sheep and he came to get us. And with those words, I'm going to close with these words and then I'm going to turn it over to Brother Allen. He's talking later on in this chapter. He's now in Jerusalem and he's in Solomon's porch and there's certain people who come to him and ask him, you know, are you the Christ? Tell us plainly. And he said, Jesus said, I told you, this is verse 25, and you believed not. I told you. I said this plainly, but you would not hear. Why? Because ye are not of my sheep. Not everybody is of Christ's sheep. They're simply not. They're not. But the ones who are his sheep will hear his voice. And if you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that's evidence that you're one of his. Because you wouldn't believe that if he hadn't put his spirit in you. But because you call upon him, you can know that he is your shepherd. And he's mine. Okay, now notice what he says. My sheep hear my voice. Not just the words that are reported for me that I reportedly said in the gospel, but they hear my voice. The voice of Jesus. Did you know that? When you were given spiritual life, Jesus called you by name and he spoke to your heart. And you were the only one who could hear it. But he wrought a marvelous change in you. He put his spirit and his soul in you. My sheep hear my voice and they follow me. They can't help it. Now we might not be obedient, but that's not what he's talking about. We follow him into life. We become his sheep, right? My sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me and I give unto them eternal life and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all. And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Smite the shepherd who is my fellow. The one who is equal to me. That's what God the Father said. Here he says, I and my Father are one. Brethren, sistren, we're secure. We're secure because the great shepherd has died for us and he lives forever to protect us and to call us home. Thank you for your kind attention. Please come ahead, dear brother.
I do not this morning desire to change the thoughts that's been presented to us. But Brother Andy, I will go back to John 10. And there's a point that I'd like to first to see. It says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. Now notice the next verse. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep.
Right.
Now, it's interesting to see that Jesus entered in by the door and he is the door. So the door that Jesus entered into was what Brother Randy has so wonderfully preached, the door of prophecy. The door that he entered into was the door of prophecy that you preach so wonderfully out of all those other scriptures. If you, a thief and a robber will climb up over the wall, but Jesus came through the door of prophecy. Every scripture in the Old Testament, he said, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. So Jesus came through the door of prophecy. He came through that door, and he is the door. So when we look at that from the standpoint of who is he? He is the great shepherd that came through the door of prophecy. Every scripture of the Old Testament, we could go to hundreds of places. And that was one of the things they said when they were walking on the road to Emmaus. He said, ought not Christ to have entered into his glory? Shouldn't he fulfill all of these scriptures? And he began at Moses and the Psalms and the prophets and preached to them Jesus. Jesus entered in. There is no other way how are you going to know he's the Christ? Because he came through the door. He came through the door of prophecy. Now notice the next verse, number 3. I know, I'm glad you didn't get to this one. It said, to him the porter openeth. The porter, a porter is one that stands at the door and announces the sheep. Now it says, to him the porter openeth. The sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them out. Well, the porter, I want to kind of identify in my mind who this porter is, and it begins over in John, in Mark chapter 1, where it says, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as it is written in what? The prophets. Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare the way before thee. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Now, this porter that's coming, it says the messenger is coming, and what's he going to do? He's going to announce the shepherd, and or announce the one that's going to come in. He's going to announce the door. Here is the porter saying, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. This is what John the Baptist, he said, I come to prepare a way for you. I come to make ready a people prepared of the Lord. To make ready, John said, I came to make ready a people made ready. They were ready, but the shepherd came at the appointed time of the Father. He didn't come late. He didn't come early, but he came at the appointed time. When the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law. So when we see these wonderful scriptures, and it says, he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him. Why? Because they know his voice. They don't know the voice of a hireling. A hireling is one that's fake. He came in over the door. I mean, I want you to think that. The hirelings, they don't come through the door. They come over the door. So the only ones that could come in by the door is the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the only one, Brother Andy, that could fit it. He's the only one that could come through the door of all of these things that you've read. And John the Baptist opened the door. Behold, the Lamb of God. This is him. How do you know it's him? Because the Spirit of God that said to me, the Spirit of God descended upon and abideth, that's him. Baptize him. That's the Son of God. And that's what he said. So when we look at this and he says, and a stranger they will not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. They know the voice of the shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. He's mine. Now, you know, it's a wonderful thing when David was a shepherd. You know, and just about, if we look in especially Moses and various ones, they said, they asked him one time, well, what's your occupation? He said, we be shepherds and all of our kindred. There were shepherds. God gave them the job of feeding, taking care of, and watching after sheep. And this is what David, when he was there fighting Goliath, he goes out there and old Goliath's there and he said, send forth your champion. And they went through all of these different men and old Saul said, there was nobody that would go out to fight Goliath. And David come along and he says, I'll go fight him. He said, you're just a little old shepherd boy. You don't know anything. And he said, but if you're going, take my armor. And I want you to imagine old Saul was way up here and David was a little old shepherd boy. And he put on that. He said, I can't wear that armor. It doesn't fit me. But there's one that does fit me. And that's the armor that God gave me. He said, I remember one time that there was this wolf came and he took one of my little sheep, and out of the mouth of the lion and the paw of the bear. He said, I will fight that. He said, the one that delivered me, delivered this little sheep out of the mouth of the bear and the paw of the lion. He says, I'll go get him. He went under the power and the might of God. He wore God's armor. He was a shepherd boy, but he knew what it was to be. He knew what a real shepherd was. Right. The Lord lays down his life for the sheep. He doesn't leave them. You remember the 99? He said there was 99 and this shepherd had 99 and one went astray. And they said, well, you got 99 more. My goodness, you got 99. There's one went astray. He ought to watch what he was doing, not go. Jesus, the good shepherd, he says, no, he's mine. And he went out and he left the sheep and he went out and he picked up the little sheep that was lost, put him up on his shoulders and carried him back. That's what the good shepherd does. He's the good shepherd. Now I want to look at several other places where the word shepherd's used, and then we're going to, like Brother Andy said, we don't want to mess up a good sermon. In Acts chapter 20, Paul leaving. He's getting ready to leave. This is his last, just about his last days on earth, and he's fixing to go out. In Acts chapter 10, Acts chapter 20, it says he called the elders to him. He called all the elders to him. And in just a minute, I'll get to the point where we are shepherds. We're under shepherds. Right. We have a chief shepherd. We're working for him. Okay? And it said, he called them, the elders, said, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock. Just about everywhere in the scriptures, we find where God's children are called sheep. But, and there's a reason for that. You know, the sheep are helpless. They'll follow a goat. They'll follow after, and they go astray real easy, and they're really kind of dumb. They are. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you an overseer. Who made you a shepherd? Who made me a shepherd? And it says, over the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to do what? To feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departure shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. That's what this hireling does. I mean, the hireling, he takes care of the sheep for money. He takes care of them for money. But if he sees an enemy coming or the wolf come, he's not going to die for them sheep. He's going to run off, and the wolf is going to catch those little sheep. That's what he's going to do. And that's why the Apostle Paul said, after my departure, grievous wolves shall enter in. And Jesus said, beware of those who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. He said, you're going to know them by their fruits. The sheep know their shepherd. And Jesus calls them by name. Randy, yeah, come up here. He knows your name. He knows my name. He knows all of your names. He calls you by your name. The hireling, he don't know your name. All he knows is that he's getting paid. But when the hireling comes, I mean, when the wolf comes, he'll run off. He said, also of your own selves shall men arise. See what I'm talking about? There's going to come out false sheep, false shepherds. They're going to come up and say, we're going to take care of you little sheep. That's what Brother Randy was talking about over there in Ezekiel and Jeremiah. The shepherds, they eat the sheep's food and they let the little sheep go hungry. They shove them aside and push them away. This is not what shepherds do. Shepherds take care of the sheep. They love their flock. And everyone that, if God has called you to be a shepherd of a flock, you must feel the burden for, you must feel, we must, as shepherds, Brother Randy, we must feel the pulse of these sheep. We've got to know when they need something. We got to be in touch with them and rubbing shoulders with them and living with them. That's what a shepherd does. That's what Jesus did. He lived with his sheep. Now I want you to see it says, I am the door. Jesus came through the door of prophecy, but he is the door. He said, I am the way. I am the truth and I am the life. There's no other, it said, there is no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. There's no way you can come through and be one of God's sheep except he says, calls you, effectually calls you by your name. I know that this after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Therefore, watch. That's what we're supposed to do. We're to watch. We as shepherds are to look out here over the sheep. We're overseers. We're to look over and we're to look and see if there's an enemy coming. And before that enemy gets there, we got to take care of that little sheep. These little sheep, they're our sheep. They're God's sheep. God gave them to us to watch over. That's why he says, therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years, I've not ceased to warn every one of you night and day with tears. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among them that are sanctified. So when we look at this from that standpoint, the shepherds, we don't go to shepherd school. How do you become a shepherd? Well, first of all, you're called to be a shepherd. You say, well, how do you know that? I'm going to tell you right here. And he gave some apostles. Now, he gave these to the church. These are gifts that God has given to you. All of you. Yes. To the sheep. He gives shepherds to the sheep. He said, and he gave some apostles, and he gave some prophets, and he gave some evangelists, and he gave some pastors and teachers. That word pastor right there, if you look it up, it means shepherd. Pastors are shepherds. We're overseers. That's why he said, take heed unto the flock which God hath made you overseer. To feed the flock of God. This is the proof. Jesus went, you know, Peter, he was a guy that sometimes he messed up. Did you ever mess up? did you ever have Jesus say, Peter, Randy, straighten up. Well, Peter denied the Lord 3 times. And Peter, it really bothered him. After that, he went out and he wept. But you know, when Jesus, after he arose, he said, go into Galilee and tell my brethren and Peter, tell him, I'm waiting for you. And the last time in John chapter 21, I won't turn there for the sake of time, but Peter had denied the Lord 3 times. Jesus gave him the great privilege of confessing him 3 times. Peter, lovest thou me more than these? Peter, do you love me more than you love? We could say these. What's these? Well, Peter, do you love me more than you love these other brethren out here? Peter, do you love me more than you love fishing? Peter, do you love me better than you do your job or anything else? But Peter said, yea, Lord. Thou knowest I love you. He said, feed my sheep. That's what a shepherd does. He don't eat the sheep's food and let the sheep go hungry. He feeds the sheep. And if you got a pastor, brothers and sisters, or a shepherd that's not feeding you, get rid of him. Simple. He didn't feed you. Get rid of him and get one that will. And that means you and you. Amen. We are to feed the flock of God which has given it. And what do we feed them with? You know, we have wonderful meals back here. That doesn't feed you. Those meals that we have back here, they don't feed your soul. Sheep food, brothers and sisters, is soul food. Soul food. That's what we're feed them with, the word of God. Feed them with the sweetness of the gospel. Feed them with the things that builds them up and encourages. Food is supposed to give you strength, and food is supposed to make you ready to go into the battle. And you can't go into battle if you're starving. You got to be able to fight the good fight of faith. And he says he gave. Now, what did he give these pastors? What did he give them for? They're your gifts. He gave them for the perfecting of the saints. He gave these shepherds to you for the work of the ministry. He gave these shepherds to you for edifying of the body. He gave these shepherds to you so that you would be builded up and strengthened. That's what we're supposed to do. And he did this until we all come to the unity of the faith of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto a measure of the stature of Christ, that we should be henceforth no more children tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. Brother Andy, we got to give them good food. Good stuff. Not I think so's and opinions. We all got, you know, Brother Bill say, I have an opinion. What does God's word say? Huh? I got an opinion. Everybody got one of them, don't they? But what does the word of God say? What does God's word say? Jesus came, brothers and sisters, through the door of prophecy. He fulfilled, Brother Randy, every jot and tittle. Everything that was written about him, he came through that. That's how we know that he's the real one. Because there is no one that could, there's no person, man, human, anybody that could fulfill all of these things that was written about him and prove that he was the Christ. He was the one that God sent to be the shepherd of his sheep. Now, I'll close with some scripture out of 1 Peter. We love Peter, don't we?
Yeah, I do.
Listen, Peter writing to me and you and to you. The elders which are among you, you are the ones that were among you. The elders which are among you, I exhort, who I am also an elder. The word elder means a presbyter, one who has come under the hands of the presbyter, one that God has called, one that God has ordained, one that God has called to feed sheep. And he said, I who am also a elder and an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Now here it is. Feed the flock of God, which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly. If Brother Andy, if we're doing this because we've been paid, or because somebody thinks we need to, if we're doing this because of some reason other than the fact that we have a desire to feed these sheep and to take care of these sheep, then we need to leave. Is that plain enough? If we're not willing to take the oversight of the flock that God has given us, we need to leave. Get on out of here. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly. Not for filthy lucre, not for money, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords. Oh, listen to this. We're not lords. We're not the boss. When you talk about the boss, there is no bosses in the church of God. There's only one. And we serve him. Not as a lord. We're not masters. We're not out here to crack the whip and beat these sheep up. We're out here to encourage you and to feed you and to show you our love to you. And that's why he said, when he goes on, neither as lords over God's heritage, but being in samples. That means examples. How, you know, the best way that I can teach these little ones is to, by example. Brother Dale, there's somebody watching. There's a little guy following you, looking after you and following after you. And that's, he said this to me so many times. Brother Allen, there's somebody's little ones that are watching you. You need to walk in the right way so that they'll know how to follow. If you go the wrong way, they'll follow you right off into error. We're to be examples. And then when the chief shepherd, when the chief shepherd shall appear. Who's that? He's a good shepherd, isn't he? He's a good shepherd because he gave his life for the sheep. He laid down his, he said, no man takes my life. I lay my life down for the sheep. I give my life for you. But he's the chief now. He's on the throne. He is the chief shepherd and he is the head of all shepherds. If you think you're a shepherd of a flock of God, you need to make sure that he puts you there. He don't like hirelings. Mm-mm. He doesn't. When the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that shall fade not away. You know that Brother Lindell prayed this in his prayer. The greatest blessing that me and you and you should ever have from our Father. Good job, son. Good job. Good job. Well done, thou good and faithful servant.